your experience level with singing is that, to me, singing equals joy. So I want you to see that here in the beginning and remind yourselves of it when you leave. Because it doesn't matter what your ability level is, or as I've mentioned, your experience level, but you can find so much joy in letting out your emotions and your thoughts through song, I believe. So we'll start with that idea, and then I want to just give you this an overview of the kinds of things we're going to talk about today to give you a reminder, a refresher, or for learning for the first time some of the basic concepts related to singing so that you can feel free about experimenting from this point on or developing from this point on. So I've listed a couple of what I believe are steps to singing success. So can you turn the movie? Number one is that you have to release your inhibitions. Like, no one cares, God doesn't care if you sing a bum note, right? So you're not going to discover your potential at no matter what your age if you don't release some of those inhibitions. Sometimes they're mental, sometimes they're physical, right? But that's a first step. And then secondly, understanding your body as it ages, and that could be the biggest shifts would be, of course, from being a child singer to becoming an adult, and then from adulthood into older adulthood. There's plenty of hormonal changes and other physical changes that happen. And if you understand how the voice works, how your body works in conjunction with your instrument, then you can kind of experiment and grow your abilities within the context of your changing abilities. So that's the second step. The third step that I try to remind people is to trust your air. I think many times as amateurs or even professionals, we think about sound all the time. You know, is it a clear sound? Is it a breathy sound? Does it sound pushed? Does it sound like sucked back into your throat? And those are all wonderful ways to be able to describe sound and your sound in particular. But if we don't come to terms with the fact that singing is based on how air is used, then we kind of limit our potential. So I'll be going over a lot of information about how to use air. And then finally, especially as we age, just making smart choices about how long you're willing to sing. How many people sing in choirs at home already or on their solos? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how many times a week do you normally sing? How about you?
Well, the rehearsals are once a week.
Uh-huh.
I guess I sing on Sundays too.
Yeah. Right? And spreading out rehearsal time or singing time over the week is great, but how many people sing in like a town gown kind of choir where it's maybe a two-hour rehearsal on a Monday night or like an oratorio society?
Exactly.
Yeah, two-hour rehearsal on a Monday night. And yes, at the end of the day when you put in a day of work and all those things. Yeah, and so if you're doing good, healthy things and making smart choices outside of singing, then that time during that longer rehearsal can feel really good. Also, just basic vocal health choices, so not smoking or dehydrating yourself and things like that. I'm going to spend time Wednesday talking about vocal health specifics, but those are the four overall steps to singing success that I wanted to frame our conversation and our singing today. So let's go to number one. Releasing our inhibitions. Everybody stand up. Now, I want you to just turn to the person next to you and say, "Wow, what a wonderful day." Just real conversational.
Wow, what a wonderful day.
too declamatory or elevated, that you don't want to be pushing from your throat, right? Mm-hmm. Again, get out of the mindset that singing or speaking really has to happen here. It has to happen with lots of air. So take a breath this time, consciously, like, wow, what a wonderful day, right? So you're just breathing ahead of time and then going, ready? And.
Wow, what a wonderful day!
Right, just a little mental note to actually breathe and like release yourself before you start speaking at a higher level. Now, pretend we're trying to get the attention of someone up on the arc, okay? You were so excited that the sun is out today, right? And the clouds are moving away. You say, wow, what a wonderful day. Ready?
Wow, what a wonderful day!
Right, good job. Now I'm up here using my arms all over the place, right? Feel free to spread out. I love to see this many people, but spread out and give yourself room to let go if you feel like it. Because this next level of speech to singing is called, some of you may know this, Sprechstimme. Anybody have any idea what that is? Yeah, it's like a speaking tone or speaking voice. So, but it's a sing-songy version. And a lot of, but some music of the early 20th century started to use this technique quite a bit. So it would be like just any random notes that you feel like saying or it's doing a sing-songy version of that phrase too. So it would be, wow, what a wonderful day! All right? So just, you can face me. You don't have to face anybody else this time. But I want you to just experiment. Take any, start anywhere and make it sing-song. You ready? And.
Whoa!
That was great. This whole section went, yay! That's a real telltale sign that you've moved to a more singing kind of tone. That sighing or gliding, right? Before it was just, wow, what a wonderful day, right? Kind of stiff. And you want to think really flexibly. So, we started with what kind of level of speech?
Conversational.
And then I said we went to declamatory. And then we kind of upped it a little bit. So it's exclamatory kind of, right, when we're trying to get to the arc. And then we have the Sprechstimme, the sing-songy sound. And it's very important that you recognize that there is this connection from speech to singing, right? Just as a basic tenet of how we get the sound going. Now, quick check on something here. I want you to try something. We are going to make a mess of the chairs. So make sure you have lots of space. Maybe move the chairs out of the way somewhat. We're going to talk about some posture issues that help us, number one, release our inhibitions, and number two, get us oriented or reoriented to our respiratory system and our musculature that really is the basis of good singing, okay? So if you have bad knees, maybe you want to modify this little exercise a little, but I call it the chicken walk. Voice teachers do crazy things. This is one of them. So what you want to do is pretend you're sliding down a wall like this, right? So that you can feel the tension in your upper quads here. See that? You notice how I'm pretty aligned between my shoulders and my hips, and even the tops of my ankles, okay? You feel that? All right, shake it out. Don't get too tense. And now I just want you to maintain that alignment, okay, as you try to walk around the room. If you did the thing with your head, you would look like a chicken. Just do it for as long as it's comfortable.
Are you videotaping this? You should.
Releasing inhibitions. We're releasing inhibitions. attention you have is not here, no matter what your age. This is not helpful. There's maybe times when some people use that, you might see in popular music sometimes, where they just get an extra oomph that way. But overall, for your longevity as a singer, get out of your neck and your throat. So that's just one little mindset and inhibition breaker that I like to do. Now, to get even more oriented to the muscles that are going to help you sing well, you want to maybe try this exercise where you find the fleshy part of your torso between, between your hips and your last ribs, okay? So it's right in there. And you want to put your middle fingers together in the back. Can you try that? Just place this part wherever you need to so you can do that. Bend over, let your neck go, and then try to take a deep breath in. Somebody tell me what happens to your fingers.
They pull apart.
Yes. Try it one more time. Right, exactly. Now, what do you think causes that to happen?
Diaphragm.
Yes, the diaphragm. What's the diaphragm?
Muscle
that pulls your lungs, or pulls the sacs around your lungs down so that air can just be sucked in. And that's literally how breathing for singing happens. It's not tanking up like some people think it is, right? It's letting the natural system work. So we have to release some of this musculature ahead of time in order to let that air get sucked in, okay? So I wanted to show you now. You can sit down if you need to now.
Okay.
Find a chair or a place to sit. And what I'm going to show you does have a bit of a cadaver showing us the diaphragm. But so if you're queasy, you know, I'm telling you ahead of time. But I think it looks kind of less. So just think of it as not real.
It is real.
It is real. This is a CD-ROM that I use with some of my classes to describe what's going on. So you'll see on the right what's happening when you breathe in. The diaphragm lowers that red disc, okay? And when you're exhaling or singing, the diaphragm is pulling upward, okay? And what you see here is the actual diaphragm. See how it goes over the liver like that? It's this big dome.
Wow.
And yeah, it's huge. It's this huge, strong, thin muscle. And we're lucky enough at Augie to have a cadaver lab. I get to take my students there, and they're always surprised, as you might be, to just see how huge that is and powerful. Notice how close the ribs are behind it. Right up there, you see that, right? And if we could turn this around, turn that cadaver around, you would see that there's just a connection of like two prongs connecting the diaphragm to the spine, to that musculature and skeletal system back there. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you really have a lot of power. You also have a system that starts to kind of atrophy over time. Okay, so if you are middle-aged or moving to older adulthood, or you've been there for a little while, can you describe some of the changes you might experience in your breathing abilities, if there have been any?
I feel like my lung capacity is reduced.
Yeah, definitely, that's one.
I can't sustain my notes as long
mm-hmm.
or as strong.
Mm-hmm. And anything else? Yeah.
When I was young, I had TB, and I had surgery that paralyzed the diaphragm for lung collapse. So I love to watch this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes, the elasticity reduces, right? So what you're saying is you can't get as much in anymore. They start to stiffen up a little bit, all this musculature around there. And the diaphragm itself and the muscles that help you to sing, they also lose elasticity. So then you have this difficulty sustaining things. So really the principle here that we want to work with is use it or lose it, right? So those of you singing at least once a week, and probably on Sundays, you're using it. You may want to increase the use, you know, take a class on singing. Some places offer voice classes like this is kind of, will turn into, in addition to choral ensembles for the community, or take private lessons. But that extra little bit of time, just using the musculature for singing, really can maintain the level you're at, but for some people, it also helps increase their abilities, or, you know, just get them in shape for singing again. So let's do some exercises. Stand up again, please. We're gonna find, how, or who can show me where to feel the diaphragmatic movement, this out and in, or up and down that you see here. Show it to me. Where does it happen?
Just below your navel.
Actually, that's great. A lot of people say it's up here, right? It is up here. This is called the epigastrium, this triangle here. But where you want to think of it for singing is from your belly button below, right where that hand can sit. So everybody put your belly button there, okay? Now, what you want to practice is squeezing and letting go. Squeezing and letting go. Now watch me a second. Do my shoulders move? So I see some people going, right? Just keep that still as if you're in that chicken one, right? And then you can think of this as a gut tug, okay? I think of this as a gut tug. I tell younger students especially, but anybody, you know when you stand in front of a mirror sideways and you try to pull that gut in and see how flat you can make your tummy? That's the muscle you want to be using, okay? So let's see if we can pull that in, and we control it, right, regularly. Just give me shh, 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 five times on a shush. Ready? You release after every shush. And here we go. Pretty good. I'm seeing good gut tugs. What sometimes happens is people, and this could be happening to you if I can't see you, they push out instead of pulling in when they're supposed to be sending air out. Just keep this in mind. You pull in when, oops, now. Pull in there and let it out. Wait, I just did that wrong.
Sorry.
Am I right? Yeah, when we breathe, it's down. When we're using on the shush, it's up.
Yep.
All right, there we go. One more time, everybody. Here we go. And. Right? And that focus on that last sustained shush should be down here, right? You start to feel yourself tighten up here, you want to try to get rid of that because that's just going to creep on up to your neck, right? And the focus should be down here. All right. Let's do another couple exercises. Let's put our voices to that. Can we do... So little arpeggio there, just on ya. So it'll be ya, ah, 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 ah. So you pull in on every ya and let go in between. Here we go.
Ya, ah, 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 ah.
Otherwise, it just becomes ya, ah, 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 and you get stiff. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So to get that feeling of release, can you just imitate a dog? Excellent! Excellent! So, that's good. Let's try. We did chickens and dogs, now a vowel system. We'll start right here. Ready? And now really work to release like that dog hand. Here we go. And. Swallow, okay, and so the esophagus focus lays behind that. Okay? Just sometimes that's a question people have. But those vocal folds are only the size of a quarter in an adult. So we can get all kinds of power and flexibility and what have you just out of that small instrument. So sometimes people are surprised by that. And what really helps us not abuse that is the air and these passages up here. All of those air molecules bounce off harder surfaces, right? Like the hard palate here, the nasal passages and sinus cavities and what have you, and amplify the sound. And that's what resonance is. It's just natural amplification. So if you can get all these parts of singing hooked up and get them in balance, then you can continue to explore and have a freedom with your singing. If parts of these get out of balance, then you might have to work harder on a few of them, like say the breathing thing, right? Really do muscular exercises. Just staying healthy and fit can help with some of that too. So that's the overall picture there. And I have little charts of that here for anybody that's interested. Then I did go through these just a little bit. When you look down at your vocal folds, they're nice and pure and light. Anybody seen vocal folds before, like seen a stroboscopy? Yeah. They're supposed to be nice and clean and white and straight like that when they come together, okay? Should be no bumps or anything like that. And they vibrate two ways. They go this way, or the gel cushion on the outside of each fold moves in a wave like that, and they also move this way, okay? What happens as we age, for some people, hormones change. As an adolescent, of course, the voice cords thicken so much they drop an octave. And the larynx actually lowers, so you get a longer vocal tract, so you get lower pitches. Or, does that make sense? And then, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, you have hormonal changes in women that thicken, they dry out the gel around the vocal folds, that's why hydration is important. But the system thickens too, and sometimes lowers the pitches that they can sing, so they sort of take that range and slide it down just a little. And that's where the habits that you establish now, or with an understanding of your body, that's where you can really reap the benefits, because you may have practiced a style of singing that was kind of harsher on your instrument, and then you go and have the thickness and hardening of the cartilages that protect it, right? And then it's even harder to be flexible with the tone. So, again, it's healthy habits. But the other thing that can happen is that the muscle fibers in these vocal folds can loosen up. It's as if you took a bunch of rubber bands and cut off the end. That's what a young adult muscle fibers would look like in the vocal fold. But what happens is they start to loosen up, just sort of like pull apart, and then you get these bowed vocal folds. So what kind of sound do you think, if this produces nice and clear tones, right? What would this kind of sound produce? Or this kind of shape produce?
Warbling.
Breathy. Yes, that's it. The warbling has to do with the stiffness and things like that. But you really get a breathy tone, which should be happy birthday to you, right? That's breathy. And that's really frustrating because then there's lack of control, right, over singing. So that is harder to fix. But if you use good breath energy, right, you sort of exaggerate the air. My term for that is fortissimo air. You know how what it feels like to sing really loudly? That kind of energy? You just put that into your air, not into the tone. And sometimes that helps some people get rid of the breathiness because the pressure underneath those cords makes them pull together more, the air pressure. Does that make sense? This is where like physics stuff comes in. but anyway, so that's bowing is something to understand. And this is just a little sort of x-ray view of our instrument, how it sits in the throat. You can see the folds from the front to back, they open this is turned around. But these little cartilages back here are responsible for pulling things together. Pulling the cords together.
I thought those were the lips.
No. Yeah, this is if you took a stroboscopy and looked straight down it, at your
all of the air that you breathe in and out obviously doesn't flow over the vocal floor, it folds. How is that regulated? How much air flows over versus just regular, normal breathing when you're not using your voice?
That's still controlled by the diaphragm.
So is it the velocity of the air then that makes the difference?
Yeah. Let me show you one other picture here. It is the velocity of the air. It's there's a theory called the myo, I'll write it down. Myoelastic aerodynamic theory.
Oh, yes, I know that one. Yeah.
Myo refers to, am I spelling that right? Myoelastic aerodynamic theory. Yeah. So myo refers to muscles, right? Elasticity. And aerodynamic referring to air. Molecules. And what I love here is this is kind of showing you what happens. This little larynx in motion. Okay.
Where's that from?
What?
Is that
this right here? Oh. Yeah, it's like a cross section if you want.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. So the dark pink would be like the buildup of air molecules. Okay? Just up below the vocal folds, which are the little peaks sticking out. And so there gets to be so much pressure that the muscles can't stay together anymore. They pop open. And so that happens at an extremely rapid level, right, or pace. And that's how we get them to rub together to make sound. Okay? That is how we phonate. Any other questions at this point? All right.
Is that where vowel sounds are made?
Nope. Vowels are determined by the tongue and mouth shape. But really, this is where people, where kind of solo and choral techniques differ a little depending on who you talk to. But the tongue is the determinant of the vowel. It really is. It's the height of your tongue. Like, everybody say E.
E.
You see how high and forward I can push my tongue? E. It still sounds like an E. E-A-A-O-U. And pay attention to how that tongue shifts, right? So the tongue really determines that, but the quality of the vowel, like whether you're hearing, like you asked us to make a tall vowel yesterday so that the sound wasn't just like ah, ah, right, is what he wanted, is that's more much more complicated, has a lot more physics involved, but that's in the area of resonance. I know you can't really see that. So we started with respiration. Phonation, I just showed you a little how that works, and resonance is sort of like the final chapter. But when it comes to the aging process, I focus so much more on respiration and phonation, because those are the places where things go haywire the easiest. Okay. So
can I add something here?
Yeah.
There's a I'm a choral director, so I'm anxious to hear what Sandy has to say. And I'm also getting older and I'm losing my voice, so I really want to know what Jeff has to say. But there was a class that I took many, many years ago, and they talked about the breathing was the engager.
Yes.
And the larynx is the releaser. And when you talked about vowels, the mouth is your shaper. And that's something that's stuck with me all these years. It's been wonderful.
That's great.
So the voice just releases the sound.
I like to think of it, we use so many analogies.
Yeah.
That's what I love about this, is I get to be creative with analogies. And I think of describing to students that really you're just filtering the air, right? You don't need to think about what happens here. If you're engaged, maybe think that you start the tone down here, actually, or you start the air down here versus in your lungs. And then it just flies through that vocal tract I showed you, right? It just gets filtered by the vocal folds and then filtered again, or shaped, like you said, by the mechanisms up here, the articulators, the teeth, tongue, cheeks, jaw, and all of that. That just shapes the air. So it's almost like if you could imagine your air coming out in, I don't know, a color or like a fire-breathing dragon, you know, where you can envision the air coming out, that's a good place to get away from thinking of just about tone and what does it sound like, but to get engaged with your body.
Just for one more thing, I could feel my voice going, and I tried to do everything everybody said, and it just kept getting worse and worse. So I finally went to a doctor, and she looked at my vocal cords and showed them to me. And she said, your vocal cords are absolutely fine, but everything they're attached to is brilliant red. She said, it's all being irritated, and you have acid reflux. Mm-hmm. And I started laughing. I said, I've never had heartburn in my life. I don't even know what it is. And she said, there's a silent kind that washes up, and the hoarseness, I could sing for, you know, 3 minutes and get hoarse.
Yep.
And I'd hold a tone, and all of a sudden it would just be going all over the map. And it was
right.
Like, well, it wasn't just going flat, it was going.
So what do you think was the solution for that? Because it's clearly not going to be respiration or phonation exercise.
Well, I need all that too. But, but anyway, I took Prilosec for 2 months, and I cut out tomatoes and, you know, some of the stuff she said, and it has actually gotten better.
That's a good point. She brings up the health aspect and things that we have less control over, in a sense. There are definitely medical approaches to helping some of the changes as we age. But as we age also, sometimes we start taking medications that have side effects, like dry mouth and, you know, overall more. You need to watch your electrolyte balances and things like that. So again, it's understanding your body, right? Mm-hmm. Coming back to that and knowing then what you need to do as an individual, right? Because one size fits all approach to everybody's aging voices doesn't always work. So I may focus on respiration and phonation, but with someone in particular, we may need to talk about other kinds of get more into resonance or talk about changing voice parts in choir or things like that. Just making modifications, right? What kinds of things have choir directors said to you about making changes that work? Any suggestions they've given? Or is it just, this is how I want it? Yeah? You want to say?
I'm trying to think of the name of the medicine that is in, let's say, Waltussin, the various tussins, that clear phlegm from your vocal cords or your entire vocal system there.
Yep. The guaifenesins, the expectorants, don't generally have a expectorants, yeah.
Yes.
Anything that loosens mucus doesn't have as harsh of an effect on your voice as anything that's drying, right? So antihistamines can be really drying. Things like Sudafed, which I just took this morning for a little sinus thing. But yeah, you have a good point that there are over-the-counter things, there are prescription medications that people need as they age that all need to be thought about or considered, and maybe in consultation with, you know, a voice professional or your choir director or something, so that you can understand your body and then have a good time singing, right? Because we can't forget about that. So let's get back to some more singing. I'm trying to link up here with theater classes this afternoon. Can I have 4 volunteers to speak something? Okay, I need 3 more. I'm gonna start passing it out.
I'll do one.
Who else? These are just short little snippets I'm going to have you do. All right. Number 3, number 4? Okay, great. So one thing you can do at home is not in a music book for exercises, but just take poems, poetry, or famous quotes by people, and just practice what we did with breathing and speech to singing, and take those and say them in a Sprechstimme style, or say them in your declamatory style. So number one, which voice would you like to use, or speech level would you like to use?
Just the beginning, just the
conversational?
Just, yeah, let me just read it.
Okay, go for it. Can you stand up and actually and breathe and think about what you're doing?
Okay, so I'm just speaking.
Yep.
My mistress' eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why then her breasts are dun.
All right. Now, this is a sonnet. 130, is it? Right?
Yeah.
The beginning, first few phrases of that. Will you take the adjectives and do more with them, even in a conversational style? So red like the ruby, like red? What is it?
Coral,
red.
Snow,
be white, those kinds of things. Give the text more breath energy.
My mistress' eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why, then her breasts are done.
Right, she didn't have to do a whole lot to make it more interesting, one, and two, use more breath energy. Right? Like, be more engaged with the actual speaking, okay? And that's a good first step. So number two, will you please send it to the fireside, creekside room?
If hairs be wires, black wires grow on her head. I've seen roses damask'd red and white, but no such roses see I in her cheeks. And in some perfumes is there more delight.
That was lovely and resonant, wasn't it? He used that air and he got a louder sound with that natural amplification. Okay, so that was more resonant. Mm. Now you are not off, Scott. Now this time I want you to exaggerate consonants and listen to the contrast when someone really engages with every part of the word, right? In the energy that you have. Ready?
Still to the next room?
Oh, yes.
Okay, Charlie. If hairs be wires, black wires grow on her head. I have seen roses damask'd red and white, but no such roses see I in her cheeks. And in some perfumes is there more delight.
Ooh, I think that's what I was thinking. Right, so one of the things that I touch on a little bit, and it usually depends on the student, is that engagement with the air, but also with these articulators, right? I'm asking him to do more with D's and S's and sh and anything that's expressive, right? Because sometimes that musculature also relaxes, and it takes a little more to spit out words more quickly. Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes a little more muscular energy to do it. So again, just being aware of that and then putting it into practice, even in just a little poetry exercise. Number three, right? What's your name?
Harlan.
Harlan. Can you send it out to the ARC, please?
Oh, my. Think in the breath that from my mistress reeks. I love to hear her speak, yet well I know that music hath a far more pleasing sound. I grant I never saw a goddess go.
These are really nice resonant sounds you're making. Did that feel strenuous at all?
Somewhat?
Like up in here? Or where?
Yeah, I guess it was.
Okay, now this time, we're all your classmates, we're all your teachers, and we're going to watch your diaphragm.
No.
Take a breath.
Okay.
Right? Make sure every time you're starting over a phrase that it's, so we don't care if it's out of like your theatrical rhythm or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Just make sure you're thinking about breathing. Go for
okay.
It.
Think in the breath that from my mistress reeks. I love to hear her speak, yet well I know that music hath a far more pleasing sound. I grant I never saw a goddess go.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Good job. All right. Now, we may may have ended up pulling down the volume a little bit, I think, this time. But it's, again, an exercise in engagement, right?
Sure.
And thinking about what you're doing. You can sit down. Because one of the things you find, whether it's a solo piece or a choral piece, is that sometimes those phrases are long, right? And if you're already struggling to hold that out a little longer, then it's like you need an extra minute or second, to release that those muscles and to get the next breath, right? It just takes a little longer. So what you want to kind of do is try to train yourself to do it faster. Make those engagements or releases of your diaphragm and breath quicker. And that's where the staccato exercises come in nicely. But if you're just working on just one thing at a time, doing a speech exercise, like, are you ready for Sprechstimme?
No, I'm not. I said I'd do it. So
go for it.
My mistress, when she walks, treads on the ground. And yet, by heaven, I think my love as rare as any she belied with false compare.
All right. You know what? She started to get the Sprechstimme, like, connection of vowels to the next word. Mm-hmm. Will you do it one more time? Can I say it?
Yeah.
And will you do, my mistress, when she walks, treads. You hear how that's all connected? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I'll do it one more time.
You want it?
My mistress, when she walks. Now I put it into a sing song you can play. That might be easier. You almost like sing it in a speech tone. Okay, that's confusing. Just go for it.
Somebody might be able to do it better than I, but all right. My mistress, when she walks, treads upon the ground. And yet, by heaven, I think my love as rare as any she belied with false compare.
All right,
yes.
We're getting there.
It was a long
sentence. Yeah. Okay, everybody just try this with us. My mistress walks, my mistress when she walks, okay? We're just going to say that phrase. Get yourself ready to go. stand up. And I want you to do, Ron, will you shut that power off?
I don't know how to do that.
There's a power button on the top.
Just held it down.
Hold it down.
It's the one on the far left. There we go.
We're off.
There we go.
Yay.
Oh, phew. Okay, so we're going to do My Mistress When She Walks, and we're going to get to that sing-songy place. Can everybody use your arm to go through that phrase like this?
My mistress when she walks.
Now, pay attention to what's happening here while you do that. Ready?
My mistress when she walks.
Feel it tighten at all?
Yeah.
Do the gut tug a little. If you didn't, try it one more time and actually make yourself do the gut tug, because it will help you sustain that sing-songy tone with air. Here we go.
My mistress when she walks.
Good job. You hear the difference between that and my mistress when she walks? There's a resonance similarity, but the way you're delivering it changes, and that's because you're moving towards singing, okay? So that's a sonnet you're going to be using, right?
It sounds like it.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah, go to their session. What time is it? 3:30?
That's 3:30.
Wait, and you'll find out more about that. Okay. So we've experimented here now with a little bit of number three, trusting our air to do the job. Right? My mistress, when she walks, instead of just the sound. Okay, have a seat. We have two other things I really want to make sure we get to, which is talking a little bit about vibrato, maybe three things. Talking a little bit more about what our Kodak moments should be. So in other words, what is it that you want to remember, right? What do you want to highlight in a tone, right? What's the end result that of singing that's the best, okay? So let's start there. What are characteristics of singing that are good?
Clarity,
so no breath, that's great. What else?
No wobble,
right. So, or you could say an even vibrato, one that's not too heavy, one that's not too light or too fast, that's called a tremolo.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes people think it's like a goat bleat.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Okay, good. Those are good.
On pitch.
Yes, singing in tune.
Yeah, what else?
Enunciation.
Enunciation, right. You're unable to understand the words. Anything else?
Maybe crisp transition from one to the next.
One tone?
One tone to the next.
Yes, where you're not sliding pitches if it's not in the style. Yeah. What about dynamics?
Oh, yeah, expression.
Yeah, you need to have dynamic flexibility. And that is something that's quite challenging as we get older. Sometimes it's related to hearing changes, too. But sometimes it's just an inability to sing in piano dynamics as much as they might have before. And that generally is a result of heft in the approach to singing, as well as tension here, right? But those are things you can work on with a teacher. What else?
Can you talk about something? I'm just thinking about spinal alignment and posture, and what about vocal alignment and with that?
Yep. Basically, if your body is aligned, your voice will be aligned.
Mm.
So what I pointed out in the chicken walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those places are the most important to pay attention to. There are so many ways we use our body on stage, the actors and singers and singing actors, and right, they're asked to do so many different things. So that their alignment, their attention to that is important to make sure that tension stays out of the instrument. The other thing I've been reading in a book about singing musical theater is that the core strength, the stuff we worked on, core strength is extremely important. And you can learn that in other hobbies in your life. Yoga, Pilates, right? Other fitness activities, sit-ups and things like that. So core strength is important. Now there's a person that you might want to know about if that's an interest of yours. Her name is Barbara Connable. And she's responsible for sharing the concept of body mapping. Actually, her husband did a lot with this. There's a lot of physiology involved, but there are very detailed little pamphlets that she has out about breathing for singing and the alignment that your body is supposed to have. And she's gotten supportive choir directors like James Jordan from Westminster Choir College, a major choir director in the United States, who believe in what she has to say about the power of body alignment, just freeing us up. Anybody know of other techniques that are related to body posture? There's another
Tai
famous. Tai Chi, yeah, and that's muscular movement and control and breath, right?
Alexander.
Yes, Alexander technique has a lot to do with body alignment, or freeing up your body to work at its most efficient level. Okay, yep.
I don't have got laryngitis. I no longer sing publicly, but I take my turn as lector in church.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first start to read the lesson, I have a very 86-year-old tremolo, and then it goes away. I don't know if it's if there's some trick I could do to start out better.
Well, and you also have this issue of a diaphragm that you have to
work. I think it is a
breathing problem. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I would think that it gets better because your body's engaged more as you go on. So you have to maybe get that body ready to go ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like, even if you do, I mean, I can talk to you and I can work on my abs, right? So if you can do some of those low gut tugs, maybe that will get this part of the mechanism moving.
I asked her if I should quit, and she said, no, don't quit, you'll get the meaning of it, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what, right? Singing in equals joy, so you can't quit. You got to experiment. So, sorry, I got dry there on this. The vibrato issue, right? I mentioned hormonal changes, and I mentioned tension. And that doesn't happen to everyone, right? There are famous singers who've given recitals at the age of like 76, Leontine Price or something. I think she was 76. And they still sound amazing. And they probably had great technique her whole life, probably. But generally, it's that connection to air and to your body that's really important when it comes to that. Sometimes people try to back away, right, and sing with a lighter tone, but then we lose breath connection and we start to lose pitch focus, okay? Sometimes that happens to people. So really, it's an issue of experimentation. I have worked with some people with some pretty hefty wobbles, and while there's no perfect solution, right? You can only fight aging changes so much, but they practiced thinking of their air coming out like in a straight line. So, me, me, ma, mo, mo. Like, you can hear that I didn't have vibrato in that, but I wasn't trying to not have vibrato. I wasn't trying to have straight tone. I was just thinking of my air coming out like that. Okay? And I think what it ends up doing, and I haven't gotten to do a scientific study on this, but I think what it ends up doing is providing enough breath energy under those folds to help them come together more cleanly, more efficiently, so then, and with a little less weight or musculature involved. Okay. The tremolo issue, if you find it gets really fluttery, is generally because we're not connected to our bodies, so the breath, the breathing is really high, you know, up in your chest. Excuse me. So anyway, those are the basic ideas that I wanted to make sure I shared today. I think we'll end with a short song. How's that? Can we do that? Can we share a whole bunch of... I have 12 of these. Can you share those? And I do have some handouts. No, not those. Those are big old packets. If you would like more, see me at the end. And let's see, should we do Shalom Kavarim? We'll do the English. It's on the inside. And I'll collect those when you're finished.
I need one of each. I didn't staple them. 5, 6, and 7.
So you see on the inside it says page 135. Right down here. Can you see that? Everybody can see a copy? So we will sing this through one time together. Okay? Shalom. Yep. Since it's the end of our session. And then we will start with this side of the room on a repeat. And when they get to number 2, this side of the room starts at the beginning.
This is the
Ready? See it on the inside. Everybody together. Your best breathing and breath energy. Here we go.
Yes.
hands up if you're Alright, so it's, I mean, it's kind of a conversation, but just make sure you're using lots of breath and you feel free of your
voice. It's around, yeah.
Now,
the second.
Who's doing it first this time?
Together and then our competition. Ready? Here we go. Best breathing. Contemporary style. So what are the differences between the major ideas?